Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, December 8th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is twitch.tv/AndyCortez.
Kevin knows why I'm laughing right now.
I try to hold it in. Like, are you laughing because we're way off center?
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, it's my fault.
No, it's not your fault. I saw it beforehand, but I can't fix it on the... the preview screen,
because somebody in chat said we're social distancing.
It won't show the overlays right.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah, when I preview it, the overlays are a video or something. I don't know. They won't come up, so I can't. Yeah, change it.
I mentioned this recently, and I'm probably gonna mention this again soon. I've prepared for the worst anytime an intro happens to know that whatever's gonna come out of the other side of that screen might not be what I expect. Mm-hmm. And so I saw it. And I was like, I can acknowledge this, but I'm just gonna track on because that's what I've been trained to do.
That's the professional thing.
That's what I've been trained to do. Andy, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic, Bless. We did a little Hawkeye review. That's up on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Or it will be up fairly soon. So go check that out. I'm ready to talk some video games with you.
I haven't seen episode 4 yet.
It was real good. I was like kind of lukewarm on the series, episodes 1 through 2. I think it's just kept getting better and getting better. It's very, very good.
Yeah. Do you know how many? Did they say how many episodes it is?
6.
Oh, that's so brief. I don't like that. That feels so really brief.
They're like 40 to 50 minutes. So.
Yeah, but like that means we're past halfway already.
If you would have told me, like, is Blessing gonna say, "Oh, that's so short" or "That's so brief"? I would have put no money on brief.
I like it.
You're elevating this fucking content.
So brief.
Yeah, dude. I bought a thesaurus a little bit ago. I've been reading through it. Let me learn words. I didn't buy a thesaurus. I am on thesaurus.com a lot, though. Yeah. Helps out a lot with the Blessing show when I realize that I use a lot of the same words over and over again. So I gotta figure out how to create variance in my vocabulary.
Plus, we have vocal tics. We got vocal tics.
Of course. Okay. Of course. Like we all do. Do you not have the iced coffee this morning?
No iced coffee. Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you why. I'm probably going to go back to sleep after this. I'll tell you.
I love that for you. Andy, do you know what else I love? Video game news. Let's talk about today's stories, which include Jason Schreier's report about Halo Infinite, Dr. Dre dropping new music in GTA Online, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic creator code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, BS I Love You XOXO is up right now, and it's our breakdown of Project Spartacus. That's up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. And then remember that we're watching along with the Game Awards that is happening tomorrow, Thursday evening, over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Andy, what are your hype levels? I've been asking everybody this. I don't think I've asked you this yet.
Okay, so not only excited for the reveals, excited for the night. I'm excited to get on camera. What I want to do, Kevin, don't tell Tim this. I want to just show up at his front door and be like, "Hey, I'm here, man." What do you think he'll do?
First of all, you should wear a suit. That's number one.
I don't. I left my dress clothes back at home.
I have a tuxedo if you want to use it.
Sure.
It's green plaid.
No.
Green plaid.
Don't
that
fucking
disgusting.
It's not disgusting. It's excellent.
A green plaid suit. Come on, where are you? Are you Father Christmas? That sounds gross, bro.
Honestly, that's why I bought it. Well, I didn't buy it. That's why I chose that one, because I was like, I can make this work. And I wore it in a prom, and guess what everyone told me? Oh, my God, you look so good, is what they fucking said. So you shut your stupid goddamn fucking face.
I'm wondering if you're like, maybe you're colorblind and it's not quite green. Because I'll be honest with you. God, I have
I'll get the photo.
I have a visceral reaction when I hear green plaid. Like, that doesn't sound like two things that should necessarily go together.
I understand that, but like, I legitimately was like, oh, I could use this for like fancy Christmas outfits.
And I'm Libo in chat, says Riddler vibes.
Yeah, same deal. Same really deal. Funny.
Sounds disgusting.
So anyway, I see it though. Anyway, yeah, I'm not only very, very excited for possible cool announcements, I'm excited to root for the games that we love. And I love having those sort of on-camera moments where, like, I immediately go back to 2017's Game Awards, where I know a couple people were against me in wanting to root for Odyssey, Super Mario Odyssey, but I'm like, no, man, Zelda, dude. Fucking come on,
yeah.
Man.
Oh yeah, Zelda was the right answer there.
So yeah, I love the Game Awards. It's just one of my favorite nights to sort of just celebrate these awesome developers and also munch out, drink some alcohol. It's gonna be fun.
Hell yeah!
I'm excited to see your outfit, Bless. I feel like you know, you've been hyping it up enough.
Kevin just showed the count.
He sure did. Yeah, he sure did.
Sorry guys, my cameras, remember I told you earlier all my cameras switched. I didn't realize that was a systemic issue.
I think you're doing it again. You definitely shouldn't show.
That's the preview. I showed is OBS and the calendar, so I'm sorry about that.
The show start? Are we just talking?
We might need to edit that out. This is a heads up. We're probably going to definitely need to edit that out. But also, like, yeah, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the same reasons, Andy. Mm-hmm. One, I'm excited to see the outfits and what people show up in. But then also, I'm excited to, like, root for the games that I'm very excited about. For you, is there, like, a game that you're rooting for the most tomorrow?
I'm much like you. I think I'm rooting for Returnal in the categories that it's in, because I feel like that is kind of a game of the year to me. I feel like it should have been there, and that was such a fun game and such a great experience. When it comes to game of the year, you know what? I'm rooting for Tim Schafer. I'm rooting for Tim Schafer and the people at Double Fine. It's just going to be a great night. It's going to be a great night, Bless.
Hell yeah. I'm also rooting for Returnal, of course. Like, I think the more we approach Game Awards and the more, like, I take a glance at the what it's nominated for and, like, the different nominees for the different categories, I'm realizing more and more how much I want that game to, like, get recognition and how much I really do love that game. I was talking to, I think it was Barrett, about this earlier this week when thinking about my personal game of the year. It keeps going back and forth between Deathloop and Returnal. And I want to find time before we do our kind of funny game of the year to go back and just revisit Returnal and rerun some of the runs in Returnal and see if I can beat the game again real quick to kind of, like, re-experience that and put myself in that headspace. Because, like, every time I think back to that game, I think back to how addicted I was to Returnal, and like that at the time felt like a very special game to me, in the same way that Deathloop, when that came out, was also a very special game. And so, like, for me, it's those two kind of battling it out. But I can't wait to see what wins game of the year, best direction, all those different categories. But you'll have to wait till tomorrow till we get that. Of course, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch along with us. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Pranksy, Blackjack, and Greg Miller returns to content next month. Nick Should Quit Now. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, Honey, and American Giant, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
And let's start off with another Halo Infinite story. Story number one. Halo Infinite reportedly once had a vast Zelda-like open world. I'm pulling from Ed Nightingale, which is a very beautiful last name, at Eurogamer.
It is a beautiful name.
Right? Nightingale. Elegant. Halo Infinite's single-player campaign was once planned as a vast Zelda-like experience, but this was drastically cut back as part of 343 Industries' plan to reduce the game size by almost two-thirds for its final version. A new Bloomberg report details the rough journey developer 343 Industries took leading up to the release of Halo Infinite this week. The game was originally inspired by Nintendo series as developers aimed to create an open-world version of Halo. However, a number of issues meant the entire game had to be considerably stripped back. Those issues include staff attrition rates at 343 Industries, conflicting creative decisions, and the developer's game engine, named Faber, being difficult to use, so much so that a move to Unreal was considered for months, according to journalist Jason Schreier. From
Faber
Trier.
Sounds like someone that would sponsor us, bless.
Today we're brought to you by Faber, ExpressVPN, and yeah, no, that's exactly what that sounds like. From Schreier, quote, by the summer of 2019, Halo Infinite was in crisis mode. The studio decided to cut almost two-thirds of the entire planned game, leaving managers to instruct some designers to come to the office and do nothing while the studio figured out the next move. Eventually, the game's open world was cut back from a vast Zelda-like experience into something far smaller. It soon became clear to some on the team that, even with the compromises, getting Halo Infinite into decent shape by the following fall would be impossible. Still, the timing of the release didn't seem up to discussion. Microsoft told 343 that it had to be a launch game for the next Xbox, which meant releasing it in November 2020, end quote. The game was also delayed multiple times, with a 2019 multiplayer release and a 2020 campaign release considered. Eventually, Joseph Staden, lead writer for the first three games, was brought in to turn the Halo ship around. Despite Microsoft remaining adamant that Halo Infinite would be a launch game for the new console, Staden persuaded his boss to let 343 take their time. Quote, here's a list of all the things we could do to make this game excellent, he told them. Quote, here's what time buys us, end quote. Among the changes were new improvements made to the graphics and roaming marines that follow the player and assist on their journey. Still, Infinite isn't the finished product originally aimed for, with co-op mode and customizable forge set to release next year. Of course, there's more to the Jason Schreier story. We hit all the big details, but of course, Jason Schreier, with this news report, got in his bag, and he has a way longer report over there on Bloomberg, and so I encourage you guys to check that out if you want all the nitty-gritty details. But on that level, Andy, what are your takeaways from this?
I mean, I think it's what a hero play by Joseph Staden to come in and be like, we absolutely need more time. And can you imagine the panic, blessing? You know how it is. You know when that big essay is due at midnight and you're like, I haven't even started it. So, like, I'm kind of screwed right now. And for Xbox to be like, hey, your game is struggling and you're not really working on anything here at the end of 2019. This needs to be a launch game. What the hell do you do in that situation? You beg for more time, and that's absolutely the right call. I'm not really surprised by any of this, honestly. Like, we knew that there was turmoil. I felt like every other week we were hearing about another employee that was leaving 343. So it was obvious that there weren't a lot of great vibes there at 343, and I'm glad that they were able to right the ship. I do, however, just worry how much more this is going to ignite the fanboys fanboyism out there of like, look at that, they shipped another game that wasn't really finished, because so far I've had a lot of fun with Halo Infinite, and I'm not completely surprised that things were scaled back. It felt like a necessary move.
Yeah, that's the thing, is this seems like a necessary move that, one, seemingly has saved the franchise to some extent, and also has really bolstered up the Xbox launch in an interesting turn of events, right? Because Halo Infinite was supposed to come out at the launch of the Xbox Series X, right? And that was supposed to be the game that was going to sell people at the day of launch. Hey, here's the reason why you should come out and buy an Xbox Series X. If that original version of Halo Infinite came out with the Xbox Series X and it was disappointing, cool, I couldn't think about what that would do for the reputation of Halo and then the Xbox Series X launch. Halo Infinite waiting, delaying, and going, and the team over there going, hey, let's figure out how to polish the game graphically. Let's make this game look at the best that we can make it look. And then also, let's fix the things that we want to fix, right? Let's fix the roaming AI. Let's put more TLC, love and care, into how the game runs, how the game controls, how the game moves, all that stuff, right? Let's make it the Halo Infinite experience that it needs to be in order to get in order to satisfy fans at launch. The fact that they were able to do that, now we're sitting at the fall after the launch of the Xbox Series X, looking back and going, wow, this is an incredible fall for Xbox between Halo, Forza, Age of Empires, Psychonauts 2, and everything else that Xbox has to offer, let alone things that are on the horizon for Xbox. This delay, I think, is the thing that is going to, that Xbox probably in the future is going to look back at and go, hey, whenever we need to fix a problem, delay it. Like, that was the best move we could have made here.
It's, again, it's one of those legacy defining moves.
Yeah,
this moment will definitely be looked at in the past and from a lot of different people, not just people in the game, people in game development, but just people that talk games like us. That's one of those moves that absolutely changes the way that not only your business operates, but what people think of your business. And yeah, absolutely the right call. I would like to see that What If universe, had they been able to ship everything that they had originally wanted to on time, and what that would necessarily change for this gigantic Zelda open world. I think that would have been really cool to just sort of see that universe. But what we got is kind of what I was expecting anyway. So I wasn't really, with my time with the game, I didn't ever feel like underwhelmed in any way. Mm-hmm. So like, what else could they have possibly added to this gigantic campaign in order to sort of reach the goals that they were originally wanting and planning for?
Yeah. And I think what's funny too, is that regardless of them scaling back from this vast, big Zelda like open world, upon reviews coming out for campaign, so many people still compared it to Zelda Breath of the Wild, right? It still got those comparisons. And I think a big part of that is, you know, when you look at Breath of the Wild, that game does, I think, a lot of things incredible, but its big, vast open world is only one of those things. I think a big part of why people love that game is how reactive it is, and how, like, in the moment, like, you feel like you have choice in how you're going to tackle any situation. It seems like from reviews and from even playing just the multiplayer so far, Halo has that. And now that campaign is out, I can't wait to jump into campaign and see how that reflects in campaign. Like, playing that already and reading the reviews has me super excited to actually experience that myself. And so I think that's huge. And then, you know, in the way that Halo Infinite looks back at original Halo and tries to translate what Halo was from the start, from the get-go, into something that is modern and is new, you know, I think also speaks to that. Also speaks to people being like, yeah, no, this reminds me of something that feels new and fresh, and the way that when you play something like Breath of the Wild, that feels new and fresh. And so, you know, like, being able to scale back and identify, hey, we don't need to be one for one with a Breath of the Wild to understand parts of what makes that experience great, and translates parts of what makes that experience great into what makes Halo great. That is how we make a good Halo game. And I think that's a really cool thing. And I'm glad they're able to seemingly knock it out the park and actually have a good game at launch.
1000%.
Now, keeping on the same topic of Xbox, story number two, Phil Spencer believes Kinect was one of Xbox's biggest contributions to gaming. I got to look up to see who wrote this, because I did not copy and paste over the site and
author. I agree with Phil Spencer. I miss it.
But I do believe this was from Video Games Chronicle, and it was written by Chris Scolian. The article reads like this. Phil Spencer has said he believes that Kinect was one of the key contributions Xbox has made to the games industry in its 20-year history. Speaking in an interview with in the latest issue of Edge magazine, the head of Xbox was asked what he thought Xbox had contributed to the industry, to which he replied that creating Xbox Live on the original Xbox, then making it standard on every Xbox 360 console, was one of the best examples. However, Spencer then went on to cite the Kinect as the key contribution, an answer that may prove surprising to some, given the peripheral's less than stellar reputation among Xbox users. Quote, was motion control the way everybody should play every game? I'd say the answer to that is no, in my view, Spencer conceded, before pointing out that the Kinect and its games were still important in changing Xbox's image. Quote, prior to that, it's not like everything was M-rated games, but when we started doing things like Kinect Sports and things from other developers, like Double Fine's Happy Action Theater and the dance games, that really opened our eyes to the breadth of what the Xbox could be, end quote. Spencer also notes in the interview that the Kinect was the catalyst for Xbox's future steps in making video games accessible to players with disabilities, citing very heartfelt emails from parents of children who couldn't play games before the Kinect arrived. Quote, I look at the accessibility work that we've done, whether it's the adaptive controller or software work that we've done, and I think you can draw direct lines back to Kinect. Not specifically with the device itself, but just about what a gaming platform can mean to more people. And that's a journey we're still on, end quote. Andy, on the top of the article, you mentioned that you agree.
I mean, well, I just mostly agree with, because I miss the Kinect, blessing. I miss the voice controls. And it's still there in a way. It's like tied to my Google Home or whatever the hell is going on there. But the Kinect voice controls were a staple in the Cortez household. And by Cortez household, I had a 3-bedroom apartment with some other friends from college. So it's just my bedroom, I guess.
The Cortez mansion, yeah.
Yeah, the Cortez bedroom. The voice control stuff, obviously I say that tongue in cheek, because we know that the Kinect was largely a failure and didn't sort of reach the highs that it was initially promising. We never got to take care of that little boy Milo and see what Milo was up to in that Kinect world. So that was kind of a bummer, because I wanted to be Milo's friend, blessing. And unfortunately, we were never able to achieve that dream. But he makes a great point. All these lines do connect back to what they were sort of doing back in the day with not necessarily what they were aiming for, I don't think. Like, I think this is all sort of one happy accident that they sort of stumbled upon a different way to play a game in a way that people that necessarily aren't able to play games are able to interact with now. So I think this is, yeah, that's lovely. I think he's dead on with this.
Yeah, I think this is it's a good, hey, what, how can we look at something that didn't fulfill the full vision of what we wanted it to be, but still had some valuable stuff there? And I think these are some really good takeaways from Kinect, right? In terms of the accessibility standpoint of it, in terms of, like, we talk a lot about 2013 Xbox and all the things that they got wrong, because there's a lot of things, I think, on the marketing side that they got wrong, and some of the implementation that they got wrong as well. You know, when you're talking about TV and you're talking about DRM and, like, not being able to share games easily and all that stuff, right? A lot of that stuff they got wrong. But I think the heart and vision of a lot of what that Xbox is going for was, I think, living in the future at a time that we weren't necessarily prepared for, right? They're going heavy on digital. They're going heavy on trying to push this kind of ecosystem kind of driven thing. And with something like Kinect, right, they're going for creating different types of ways to play. And, you know, in 2013, the execution wasn't all the way there. In 2021, a lot of the execution is finding its way there. And they've been able to take a lot of the groundwork that was set back then and turn it into something that today is fruitful. And now we're looking at it as, wow, Xbox has really good accessibility. Wow, look at what Forza is doing. Wow, look at the adaptive controller and all these different things that Xbox has. And we're able to see it for the benefits that it has.
100% blessing. Couldn't agree more.
Hell yeah. Let's move on with story number three, one that speaks to my heart. GTA Online's next big update is featuring Dr. Dre and the return of Franklin. This comes directly from a Rockstar press release. Kevin, I have a trailer at the top of the article. I can read through the article first, and then we can play the trailer with sound, because I do want to hear a little bit of what's going on there. The article the press release reads, "We're excited to announce The Contract, an all-new GTA Online story featuring the return of GTA 5's Franklin Clinton as you help Franklin and friends set up his fixer agency and land their first big ticket client, Dr. Dre. Players connect with Franklin, expert hacker Imani, Lamar Davis, and Chop the Dog as they work to track down the legendary producer's missing phone and the unreleased music it contains in this massive new update. Featuring exclusive brand new tracks from Dr. Dre, alongside a heavy-hitting lineup of artists, as well as first-of-their-kind updates to the radio dial, including an all-new radio station and much more debuting December 15th. Like all GTA Online updates, access to The Contract is free for all players." And Andy, this sounds cool as hell to me.
This sounds like kind of something brand new that we haven't seen from GTA Online in quite a bit. I'll admit, when you first mentioned GTA earlier in the show and teased what we were going to be talking about, my mind, I thought you were talking about GTA Trilogy, and I thought Dr. J was possibly putting his music back into the GTA Remastered Trilogy. So I was a bit confused by that. But yeah, this is kind of neat. Is this the thing that we saw Franklin recording mocap for? What was it, like six years ago at this point?
This is the thing that Snoop Dogg kind of leaked, I think, a bit earlier this year.
Yeah.
Because Snoop Dogg talked about Dr. Dre music making its way into GTA, or Dr. Dre working on music for GTA.
We all thought it was 6.
Yeah, people were speculating, is it GTA 6? And one of the things I mentioned was, hey, GTA Online has updates where they add music. I'm sure they're doing something for GTA Online. And lo and behold, it's something for GTA Online. The thing that I like, though, the thing that makes this really interesting and cool, even though I'm sure a large group of people actually are probably going to take issue with this, the idea that Dr. Dre doesn't drop music that often. His Compton album was 6 years ago, I want to say. It's been 6 years since Dr. Dre has really dropped music. And he's finally dropping.
He's been missing his phone.
Yeah, and he's finally dropping new music in GTA Online. And it takes the form of, yeah, you have to do these online missions in order to, like, find his phone and unlock the music. I, as somebody who plays GTA Online and listens to Dr. Dre, I'm fucking in. I'm, like, totally sold on this. I couldn't be more excited for this.
You're living the metaverse, Flynn.
I'm living the metaverse. But, like, I'm sure plenty of people are like, I don't want to do that shit.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm sure the ripped versions of the song are going to appear on YouTube sooner than later after this update comes out. Kevin, if you can play the trailer real quick so we can check it out.
Hey, what's cracking?
Franklin, yeah, Franklin Clinton, with the beard.
I'm the manager.
I'm a hustler that made it. Now I work with rich folk who got rich folk problems. They don't know how to deal with it.
And also this being big story, a big story expansion is really exciting. Because usually GTA Online is just like missions and stuff.
Wow, it looks great.
Yeah. But I'm always trying to do, like, they got Dr. Dre and Anderson Paak in here. Yes, Lord. He said the thing. Make me reminisce upon.
I remember me and Dolph. I liked it. Dickies on. What was that in 93? You probably
wasn't even born. Dre, I think you need to. I guess it can't be DMC if the music isn't out yet.
I'm Lamar Davis. I'm sure my colleagues have told you about me. Weave through the weed, smoke
trees where my seeds grow. Like, we're hearing a new track right now by Dr. Dre featuring Snoop Dogg and Anderson Paak. And it's exclusively in GTA Online. That's fucking crazy.
Do you think we're ever going to get that with... do you think we're ever going to get the... Oh, gosh. I'm already blanking on it. The one that the Pharma Robot.
The Pharma Robot?
The Pharma Bro. The one that he bought.
That Dr. Dre... Wait, what are you talking about?
No, he bought the album that was from
Yes. Martin Shkreli.
Martin Shkreli, yeah.
They took it back though, right?
Yeah, I think it got confiscated because he got arrested.
The FBI has it. Do you ever think we're gonna get it in GTA?
I think that the Wu-Tang.
That was Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang got it back.
Yeah, I think they had a clause saying that if he ever loses possession of it for whatever reason, they get it back.
Leaves it on his phone somewhere.
I hope we hear that because that'd be a really funny turn of events if GTA was like, yo, let's release it to the world, let's do it through our game. But yeah, this whole thing is fascinating. I can't wait to check it out. It being new story content has me excited because that is more of a rarer occurrence, like getting big story content for GTA and GTA Online.
Yeah.
And so I hope it's something that feels substantial and feels like something that I can go to other people and go, hey, you haven't played GTA Online in a while, or you just like GTA 5. Hey, this story pack right here is where it's at. Like, come check this out. I'm hoping it's one of those.
And I think on a more important note for me, I think people need to understand that Rockstar has different teams working on different things. And everybody just says, just work on GTA 6. Why are you wasting these developers' times on making something that we don't want anymore? We want GTA 6. And I think GTA could very well continue to keep phoning it in. But to do something like this, I think is pretty neat and substantial. We'll see how long the actual campaign is. But they don't have to do this. They can keep on putting out a new heist or a new racing mode or a new vehicle. They can continue to keep putting out smaller updates like that eventually will disappoint the fan base that wants GTA 6. But I think this is pretty neat that we're actually getting some extra story content with Franklin. When was the last time we saw Franklin in a story update?
I think it was the single player. I don't think Franklin's appeared in an online update. Yeah, I believe this is the first time. That's super exciting. I want to say Trevor has before, and like Lamar has for sure. This is the first time we're seeing Franklin since the actual single player campaign, and so that's huge. Dr. Dre, Anderson Paak being in the game, that's huge. I'm right there with you that they're supporting it well, which is the thing that you want, right? They're giving us content updates that matter and have actual have an actual hook to them that make me excited and make people that might have not been in online in a while see it and maybe get excited for it as well. And just because they're making GTA Online content doesn't mean that they're not working on GTA 6, right? Like, on just a business view sense, you got to understand that GTA Online is huge. There are millions of people that are still playing GTA Online that are invested in it. Of course, they're going to support this thing, but of course, they're also working on the next thing because they're very aware that once GTA 6 hits, that's going to be a huge phphenomenon as well. And I'm like 100% sure that they are not wanting to be tethered to GTA Online, GTA 5 Online forever, because that is a game that came out in 2013 on the PS3 and Xbox 360. And they got to level it up soon because, like, going back to it in 2021, even though I have fun with it, there are so many elements of that game that feel janky, that feel held back by time, that feel like they're rooted in PS3 design. And even when the game comes to PS5 and Xbox Series X, I'm hoping that some of those things get ironed out. But I think to some extent you can't iron everything out because it is just rooted in really old, in a really old system and like really old hardware. And so you're going to get GTA 6 hopefully sooner than later, but we'll see about that. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. There's no denying it. It's officially the holiday season. And after all that Thanksgiving cooking you just did, plus the cooking you're about to do for whatever other holiday you celebrate, you're probably not going to want to add tonight's dinner to that to-do list. So let DoorDash take care of it. You can also get groceries and other essential items delivered with DoorDash. I love DoorDash. We use it constantly. And it is such an easy thing to use for me and Gia when we're just trying to hang out, watch something, keep it simple for the night. Next thing you know, food's being delivered. It's safe, it's secure, and we are no longer hungry. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. That's 25% off, up to $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. Next up, shout out to Honey. It's gift giving season and you have no excuse to buy everyone you love the worst, cheapest gifts imaginable. Why? Because Honey is about to save you tons of money when you shop online. Honey is your personal online shopping assistant. It scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones it finds to your cart. It's so easy to use. Everyone should be doing it. I've been using it for years. I've saved literally thousands of dollars, both for me and for Kind of Funny, using Honey. You install it once, you never need to think about it again. It's just saving you money. If you don't already have Honey, you can be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free, installs in just a few seconds, and by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games. And finally, shout out to American Giant. If there's one good thing that came out of the mess that 2020 and 2021 have been, it's that people have started to prioritize comfort over style. You know what I'm talking about. But with American Giant's obsession with quality details, you can be comfy, cozy, and stylish. I love American Giant. I recently got a bomber jacket. Nobody's surprised, but it's this really pretty blue. I've never seen one like it, and I am a big fan. It's super comfy, keeps me warm, just like I like. American Giant is about the journey, not just the destination. They're obsessed with the details from start to finish, so they use the best quality materials and support local manufacturers and workers, which is always great. Slate called their hoodie the greatest hoodie ever made, so find out why. Explore American Giant's collection of durable essentials at american-giant.com, and you can get 20% off when you use code KFGD at checkout. That's 20% off at american-giant.com, promo code KFGD. american-giant.com, promo code KFGD.
Story number four, an exciting one. Suicide Squad kills the Justice League is going to be at the Game Awards. This is tweeted out this morning by @SeftonHill on Twitter. Me and the @RocksteadyGameSquad are getting ready to dive into #TheGameAwards. Can't wait to share the mayhem with you all. Good luck. And he shares a gif of Suicide Squad kill the Justice League. It looks like what I assume is going to transition into some gameplay. It looks like they're about to get into like actual some kind of like gameplay breakdown or gameplay trailers or some shit, which I'm hyped about. You know, it's been a few months since DC fandom. I believe that was where we got the previous Suicide Squad reveal. I'm excited to actually see some gameplay. At least fingers crossed that we see some gameplay.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think we will. I think I feel like it was 2-3 years ago at this point that we thought we were going to get something from whatever game that Rocksteady was working on. And I just feel like that date has been pushed out further and further. But yeah, with the recent fandoms, I do think we will see. Not an extended demo, because that's not really what the Game Awards is for, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But I think we will see some pretty cool moment-to-moment action.
Yeah. What are your hype levels for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League?
Not as high as they are for Arkham...
Gotham Knights,
yeah. That's what I'm more excited for. I'm more excited to sort of customize whatever character I'm going to be in that game. But still high enough to where, obviously, we know what Rocksteady can do. We know they can build a really impressive game. So it's still high enough knowing that a really top-tier developer is making another video game. So it's kind of like one of those things where I'm not interested in that genre of movie, but Christopher Nolan's making it, so I'll go watch it. It's sort of one of those things, you know. I think Rocksteady obviously knows what the hell they're doing, even though, blessing, I've never really played any Arkham games, dude.
Oh, you haven't? What? Dude, yeah. I think you'll like them. Like,
never really have.
Batman: Arkham Asylum is my favorite, and I know, like, I think City is Barrett's favorite. And yeah,
I watched all of Barrett's videos, and I was just like, agreed. And it's just like I pretended I played it.
You like Metroidvania type games, right?
I love them.
Because, like, Batman Arkham Asylum is basically a Metroidvania. Like a third-person action Metroidvania, where you are in a condensed space, and you're like going through different paths, and you backtrack quite a bit, and you unlock the new abilities, and get like it has that kind of formula to it. And I love Arkham Asylum for the level design and the world design. Even though City for an open world is also really good as well. Like both of them do things that are super special. And then of course, like Batman Arkham Knight is also open world, really good too. But they strike me as like indie games, like good story, good action. You know, like the good, like exploration. It has all those stuff, all the things I would think Andy would like.
I'll take the recommendation from you, and we'll do the thing where like whack. Yeah. Like I'll be like, Barrett, have you checked out these Batman games? Pretty good.
Yeah, Les told me about these games. but I definitely hear what you're saying in terms of the excitement for Gotham Knights, even over Suicide Squad. It's funny and weird because, you know, Rocksteady is the more, I would say, prominent developer between the
more
two.
More prestige, yeah.
Yeah, between Rocksteady and WB Games Montreal. And that's what I'm actually very curious about when it comes to this reveal at the Game Awards. Assuming that it is gameplay, I think this is their moment to sell us on, hey, this is the Rocksteady that you know and love. Like, this is the Rocksteady that brings bangers.
We're back.
Yeah, it being this four-player game that gives us, I think, games as a service like Marvel's Avengers kind of vibes just from the pure description of it. I think that's the thing that turns a lot of us off. But, you know, it coming from Rocksteady makes me hope that it doesn't lean all the way into those things. I hope it is more of a, hey, no, it is, you know, gameplay polish. It is the action that you know and love. It is, you know, a really fun game with a really good story. And there is a big focus on narrative. I'm hoping for all those things. I'm hoping that it is the parts of the Marvel's Avengers game, like the single player parts of the Marvel's Avengers game that we really love, but just done to an even greater degree without all the multiplayer stuff holding it back. Like that would be my dream scenario.
Although in my mind, I've already seen King Shark in his prime with James Gunn's Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so like,
I feel that.
I'm worried what anything other than that is going to be lesser than, you know, Stallone killed it.
Yeah.
It was Stallone, right?
I think it was, which is weird.
Yeah.
That was Stallone?
Yeah, it was Stallone, yeah.
Dude, I wouldn't have been able to tell. I mean, my King Shark is, of course, the homie Ron Funches
from the Harley cartoon. Show.
So yeah. Good.
Dude, I need to watch that show. King Everybody Shark. Says that it's so great. I need to
it's
see
a really good show. Pulling.
It really is. Did you watch both seasons?
No, I still got to finish season two. Season one was
really hard on season two.
Before I do that, I got to finish Arcane. All right, everybody.
I also got to finish Arcane. I'm sitting at, I'm like, four or five episodes in, I'm a little bit more than halfway through, and I've hit the problem where I just have too much shit to watch right now, and I keep bouncing back and forth between a bunch of different things.
I watched episodes 1-6 and I went back home and was like, let me watch this with my nephew, and mostly as an excuse to rewatch it on my dad's OLED TV, and holy cow, it's just a different experience than watching on the OLED TV. So I'd actually need to finish the damn thing because I've seen episodes 1-6 twice now. But what a show,
very hot show. Let's get back into video game talk with story number 5. Sakurai says, don't assume a next Smash will come. This is Joe Screbbles at IGN. Masahiro Sakurai has explained that there are no plans for a sequel to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate right now, and says that it will, quote, be best not to assume that there will always be another one, end quote. Even if he did return to the series, the director says a sequel will be unlikely to keep all the current fighters. Speaking to IGN in an email interview, the beloved Smash Bros. Director touched on the future of the series and his part in it. Quote, I can't really think about future prospects at the moment, he explained when I asked if he planned to direct another Smash Bros. Game. Quote, if Nintendo decides they want to make another one and offers me the job, that's when I'd start thinking about it, end quote. When I asked if he'd like to make a different game before potentially returning to the series, as he did with Kid Icarus Uprising between Smash Bros. Brawl and 3DS/Wii U, he makes very clear that returning to the series is not a foregone conclusion. Quote, when you say returning to the series, it makes it sound like there is going to be another Super Smash Bros. Title, but currently there are no such plans. It would be best not to assume that there will always be another one. Apart from that, I may not necessarily continue with creating more games, as I could potentially go down a different path. As for involvement with the gaming industry, there are various ways to do that. I like to keep an open mind about what I should do and take a look at all the different possibilities. At the very least, I don't think a new Smash would head in a direction where all the current fighters are kept and the roster continues to expand. I presume that running such a game on a hypothetical new system alone would exceed the game's budget. However, if you try to keep things fresh by shifting to a different genre or greatly changing the direction, then it's no longer a Smash Brothers game. I can't deny that making this title so expansive has made it a tough act to follow. Andy, what do you think about that?
This is all so stressful to read. Yeah. It really, I mean, part of me is like, get paid. Get paid, Zachary, because this kind of reminds me of what happens in sports or even in movies right now with Tom Holland, with him being like, you know, I mean, shit, this is probably my last time playing Spider-Man. And a lot of it is like negotiation tactics.
Yeah.
I definitely think we will get another Smash Bros. Title. I think that's crazy to say no. But it's weird the way this game is kind of being treated differently than any other games in the genre, where we know we'll always have a new Street Fighter game. There will always be a new whatever fighting game. But this game was just so crazy ambitious and such an undertaking that I feel like he needs to go off and rest for a solid decade, like maybe in cryostasis, and he comes back stronger and better than before. It is wild that, yeah, the game was just such an undertaking that how do you follow that up? Well, you make another Smash Bros. In a new engine and bring back all the other characters later, the way any other fighting game does it, I think.
Yeah, I do think it's a challenge because of expectation, right? Like Smash Brothers Ultimate being announced as everyone is here makes it a very tough act to follow, like he mentions in the interview. And I don't know how you do it, honestly. Like, I think you could strip back and go, okay, cool, we're only including 20 characters to start. But is that what people want? Like, would people just prefer Ultimate be ported over that? I would think, yeah. Like, you know, if that's the case, like, just give me Ultimate again. You know, just give me Ultimate Edition or something like that on the next platform and keep giving me that. Because if you're trying to go for the idealized version of Smash Brothers, I think Ultimate kind of has done it. And in a way where you look at Mortal Kombat or Tekken, and when we get new iterations, like Mortal Kombat specifically, they are not shy about getting rid of characters and creating new characters for the game, right? And that feeds into the Mortal Kombat narrative and what they do with that. And it's easier because we don't have the expectation that Mortal Kombat's going to have 100 characters included. Mortal Kombat can have a solid 20, and they can get rid of half the characters. They can go, actually, Baraka's not going to be in this game. And we all go, oh, damn, all right, cool, but who else?
Yeah.
You know, like,
and
only characters,
that's what I'm saying.
The only characters required to be in Mortal Kombat, really, are Sub-Zero and Scorpion, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like this game is treated so differently because it's a Nintendo fighting game and it has a different level to it. But yeah, I feel the same way whenever, you know, I've loosely followed the FGC, and whenever there's we're bringing character X back into Street Fighter, and I go, oh, damn, they weren't there. Like, it's weird that you're just adding that new character to Street Fighter V now when I've seen that character in all the other Street Fighters. So it's kind of like, oh, damn, all right. It's just treated so differently because it is such a prestigious title. I would say start over again, and you can easily build back up hype. Nintendo fans and Nintendo players have shown often that we will buy Nintendo stuff regardless of how bullshit it is. So, like, Nintendo making a new Smash Bros. With only 8 characters to start, we've seen weirder decisions, let's be honest.
And I think, honestly, I think that would be the way to do it. I think you would have to reboot Smash Brothers as something different. Like, keep the core aspects of Smash Brothers, right? Keep the gameplay, keep the same format that people love. Don't turn it into, like, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale where all of a sudden the rules are different. Don't do that, right? Keep Smash Bros. What Smash Bros. Is, but find whatever the fresh angle is and find a way to kind of reboot it in a way that the big hook isn't that everyone is here. The big hook is... there's a big ambitious different story or like, you know, the, like, it's a new era for Nintendo, like maybe with the next Switch 2 or whatever it is. It's like, cool, we're starting from the ground up. What defines Nintendo right now? Cool, let's get Mario and Link and the characters that have always defined Nintendo. But then also it is like whatever new Nintendo games are here at the time, and it is this more intimate Smash Brothers experience with whatever, let's say, the 2025 version of Nintendo looks like. I think paring it down would probably be the move, and then trying to re-expand it and build up toward the Smash Ultimate of this new next Smash Brothers.
And I also don't just... I see it as a complete possibility that they just port Ultimate over again, like you're mentioning. Like,
that'd be easy.
We know that Nintendo doesn't go for visual fidelity, and I don't expect gigantic, massive hardware updates to where it's going to be ray tracing and all that cool stuff, unless we get this rumored Switch AD, HD thing or whatever, Switch 4K thing. But the idea of porting over Smash, putting it in a newer engine with newer lighting and better textures and all the upgraded stuff that we're sort of used to whenever remasters happen, I see that as a complete possibility. That game Smash relaunches Ultimate Mega Edition with five extra fighters.
God, oh, I love it. Everybody I would absolutely love it. I would buy it. Yeah. Maybe five extra characters. Who are those characters, Andy?
Characters. Oof, let me tell you, Blessing. Oh, man. I'll tell you off stream because it's a lot of secret stuff later. I know.
Yeah. All right, tell me in the post show. Okay. For now, let's jump in to the next news story, which includes a character that's included in Smash Brothers. Story number six, Sonic the Hedgehog 2's movie poster has been revealed. This is Gavin Lane at Nintendo Life. Kevin, I have an image at the top of the article that you can pull up. That is the poster. Following on from recent news that Tails voice actor Colleen O'Shaughnessy will be once again voicing Miles Prower in the upcoming Sonic movie, the poster for the sequel has been revealed, and it appropriately references another Sonic the Hedgehog 2. The Game Awards honcho, Jeff Keighley, also tweeted to not only confirm rumors that Sonic's next game will feature, but also that both Jim Carrey and Ben Schwartz, who play Robotnik and Sonic respectively, will be in attendance at Thursday's award event to introduce a world premiere of a trailer.
Eat shit, Spider-Man posters. Eat shit, dude.
This poster is so good. It is very Sonic too, right? Like Sonic standing on top of a plane being piloted by Tails, and in the background you see Robotnik chasing after him. There's a level in Sonic the Hedgehog 2 that is literally this. I think it's like Sky Chase Zone or something like that. And I fucking love this. This is bringing back memories already, and I love that they're harkening back to Sonic 2 this way.
Do you ever think how it's weird to me, Blessing, how you and I are frequently on TikTok, and every once in a while I get a video of Jim Carrey being very existentialist, and then I see him on a poster as Dr. Robotnik. It's just kind of like two different sides.
I mean, he's perfectly unhinged. Like, yeah, when he's being that version of Jim Carrey, it's like, what the fuck is up with this guy? But then he's playing Dr. Robotnik, and it's like, yeah, unhinged.
You're never quite sure if it's a bit, but he's on a red carpet being like, none of this matters. We are in a simulation. And I'm just like, damn, Jim Carrey, you're being kind of wild right now, but like, I don't disagree with a whole lot of this. And then I see him on a poster as Dr. Robotnik. And yeah. it's just kind of weird, the idea that he's just a villain in a video game. And he was great at it. I liked him a lot in the first one.
Yeah, actually, I can't wait for Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Like, I'm hyped about that. I'm hyped about the idea of a new game, a reveal for the new game, because it feels like a while, even though I think it was earlier this year that we got that original tease of the next Sonic game that is seemingly coming next year. I really want to know more about that. There are those reports that it is going to be an open world Zelda-like game, which is, I think, the theme of this Games Daily. And I find it hard to believe that a Sonic game can nail being a Breath of the Wild-like game, but I'm down for the try. I'm down for them to try it out. And apparently it's going to be called Sonic Frontiers. And so I have many questions. One of my main takeaways from that original trailer that we got earlier in the year is that this seems to be it looks stylistically like a new take on Sonic, just from the standpoint of it doesn't look like classic Sonic or modern Sonic the way we know classic and modern Sonic from like Generations and Forces and all that stuff. It looks like a different kind of Sonic, and that makes me excited, because I don't want them to keep trying to do the same thing over and over again and failing in the way that Sonic Forces wasn't great, and a lot of Sonic games we've gotten recently just haven't been great. Bixby, stop talking to me.
Did you play that you probably already mentioned it, the Xbox 60 frames for
Sonic Generations?
Yeah
I haven't played the 60 frames yet, because that was a recent addition. Played Sonic Generations on Xbox just like last year, just because I wanted to. But actually, I have been wanting to go back to that, because that actually got me really excited, because that's the way I want to play Sonic, with smooth frames. But like, I hope we see something that is kind of the redefining of a Sonic game, because those games kind of need it. They kind of really need it.
They need it. I've talked off, and I just fucking hate the way Sonic feels, and it's just all personal preference, but it's an IP that I've always sort of just loved, and I really enjoy the characters. But goddamn, it just has never really felt great to me, even when it's at its best. And it's possible that it will never be for me, Blessing, but I just really want to be able to be in that world. And I think just slow down everything, Blessing. Does he need to go that fast?
You know? I mean, have you been playing? You've been playing Solar Ash.
I have, yeah.
How do you like how that game feels? Because I saw somebody on Twitter mention that this could be how a Sonic game feels, like if a Sonic open world game feels. And I kind of agree. I think that is kind of what you would want to aim for, where it is, hey, here's smooth momentum driven movement that feels something like Jet Set Radio, but also has that boost mechanic when you want to get that quick burst of speed.
And not automated. I think one thing that I've always disliked about the 3D Sonic games is the automated endless runner feel of you hit that bumper that launches you up and there's three bad guys and you tap A three times to go boop, 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 and you just go into them. I like that when I am playing Solar Ash, if I want to grind on that rail, I have to manually jump and aim correctly and land on the rail, right, as opposed to even like a Ratchet and Clank-like situation where you just tap right and jump, yeah, and you land on the next rail. I do sort of like the manual input feeling that Solar Ash offers. I totally agree with, man, I hadn't even thought of that that's a great comparison. Make it feel like I have more agency as opposed to just running around and then I hit a wall and suddenly the game is all about momentum, makes me hit a rock and suddenly I just feel like it's
a big challenge. Because what they go for with Sonic a lot of the time in the 3D platformers is making it like a roller coaster kind of experience, a set piece kind of experience, where it's less about that freedom of control and more so about what is the coolest way we can get you from point A to point B, and then how do we stop you at some points to create challenge with like combat or whatever. And it always just feels jarring when you go from super speed on a rail going through a loop-de-loop and then you run into enemies and it's like, cool, I gotta jump and take these guys out. All right, back to the boost. You know, I think,
and you're constantly skidding on the ground like,
yeah,
like, and it just feels so floaty. Like, I don't know.
I think
just
that worked at a time. I think during the PS, Dreamcast, like PS2 era, that worked. I really liked games like Sonic Heroes and the parts of Sonic Unleashed I really like as well. And they kind of did that. And I think that stuff worked. I even think like things like Sonic Colors worked. And then, Sonic Generations, I think, handled that stuff pretty well. But I think we've had so much of that. And it's gotten to the point of being stale, and it's gotten to the point of it feels like they've ran out of ideas, no pun intended, with
Sonic
Forces.
I'm going
to
do the Tim Gettys argument. How do we God of War 2018 Sonic the Hedgehog?
I mean, yeah, right? Like, how do we do that? How do we God of War 2018 Sonic the Hedgehog? I think you're absolutely right. I would love to see them try it. And so I really hope that that's what Sonic Frontiers is, as opposed to Sonic Forces, where Sonic, I don't know if you knew this about Sonic Forces, in the beginning of that game, Sonic gets kidnapped and tortured. And it is maybe one of the hardest, some of the hardest I've laughed during a video game when they have the big reveal of like, oh, where's Sonic been at? And I think Tails or somebody is like, oh man, he's been kidnapped. Oh man, Sonic's being tortured.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, dude, it's real. Sonic
just
Forces
waterboarded
like
waterboarded and shit.
Dude, Sonic Forces gets in some real shit. I was like, God damn, I was not prepared for this. Dude, Sonic Forces is wild. I can't wait for the release of Sonic Frontiers to see whether or not the God of War 2018 it. But Andy, the release of Sonic Frontiers, or whatever it's called, is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
I think the way you do it is you give Sonic a son. And Sonic has to take care of his son throughout the whole game.
And he's got PTSD for the torture.
Yeah, he's got PTSD. With
that, and his dad wakes him up from like a bad dream, like, a father. And he's like, get away from me, son. And he like pushes him away. And yeah. Wow.
Halfway through, like his son needs to go save his son. And so like he's talking to Tails.
Spread
Tails
his wife's ashes across a mountain.
Tails is like, you need to go back and get the thing so he can go save your son. And then like Sonic has a really emotional scene where he's like making his way back to Green Hill Zone. And he opens up like a hole in the ground and there's like some emeralds in there. And he's like, all right, it's time to go
Super
Sonic.
His shoes.
Oh my God. His
and
old
then
shoes.
Gareth, yeah. Gareth Coker pops off with, no, no.
Oh my God!
Can we make the son a human? Because the werewolf thing. Didn't he make?
Yeah, we can make. I mean, yeah. In Sonic 2006, he made out of a human. Anything's possible in the Sonic games. Yeah, no, like anything's possible in the Sonic games. Anything goes. We can make this happen. Out today, we got Wolf Stride for PC and Mac. 12. That can't be right. 12 minutes for PS5, PS4, and Switch. Is that correct? I'm gonna look that up. Maybe that's a different 12 minutes.
It was only ever out on PC, right?
It was on Xbox. I didn't realize it was announced for. No, it looks 12 minutes is interactive. Yep, it's out now for PS5 and PS4 and Switch. How did I miss this?
Passing PC, yeah.
Holy cow, that's pretty cool. Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker, the expansion is out today for PS5, PS4, PC, and Mac. Rune Factory 4 Special is out today for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Heavenly Bodies for PS5, PS4, PC, and Mac.
Wait, hold on, Blessing. Who makes this list?
Kotaku.
And you copy paste it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you just didn't see the 12 minutes was on there.
Yeah, I didn't see that 12 minutes.
Oh, okay. Because for a while, I was like, does somebody else like grab the list from Kotaku's site?
No, it was one of the ones where like I usually Kotaku's on it, and so I just copy and paste it. And then for anything, if I see anything come in my email, then I'll just drop it in the list and add it there too.
One day I'm going to have Kotaku prank you and just put a completely false list with just weird titles. Dude,
there was a solid week or two period during E3 time where they weren't doing the list because I think Zach, who usually writes the list, was just busy. And me and Greg were struggling all that week to figure out the out today. And like at the end of the week, we send him flowers. We're like, Zach, thank you so much for this. Never stop. Never
follow Zach. Follow Zach on Twitter.
Never take a day off again. Follow Zach on Twitter. Zach is actually really sweet. Me and him play GTA Online a lot. Also out today, we got Everforward for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and Switch. White Shadows for PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC. Yu-Gi-Oh! Rush Duel, Dawn of the Battle Royale for Switch. That is a title.
The origin.
That's where it all started. Story. Yu-Gi-Oh! Who knows? Beyond a Steel Sky for Switch. Nine Ball Pocket for Switch. Love 3 for Switch. Space Warlord Organ Trading Simulator for PC. And then Thunder Tier 1 is out today for PC. We've got an NVIDIA also GeForce Halo. Update for you. Oh, yeah. I guess the Halo campaign is out today. Zach, what are you doing? Why was that on there? Halo campaign is out today on Xbox Series X, S, and PC. We got an NVIDIA GeForce update for you. Remember that we've partnered with NVIDIA.
Oh, they're saying it's yesterday's list. That's why.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, I guess that makes sense technically. Whatever. We partnered with NVIDIA to give you updated
on. Hold on. Out today is out tomorrow or out yesterday?
Out yesterday.
I mean, pretty much. Like, I mean, most of these games unlock 9 p.m. the night before, right? Like.
Yeah,
really after days,
I'm
like, I'm already.
I'm sorry.
If you were asleep yesterday, they're out for you today, Kevin, is what we're saying.
Out already. Mm-hmm. We've partnered with NVIDIA to keep you updated on all the latest GeForce RTX additions to your favorite games, including God of War on PC. Starting January 14th, GeForce RTX owners can enhance God of War with AI-powered performance accelerating NVIDIA DLSS technology and the latency-optimizing NVIDIA Reflex, which makes gameplay even more responsive. Today, Sony Interactive Entertainment and Santa Monica Studio have unveiled a new PC feature trailer with new footage, and they've shared system requirements so you can get your system ready for God of War on PC. And then also, if that's not enough, Horizon Zero Dawn, as well as supporting these NVIDIA features, Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition receives a performance upgrade today via a patch that adds support for NVIDIA DLSS. With DLSS enabled, Horizon Zero Dawn gets up to a 50% increase in performance. We got one new date for you. Crown Trick Collector's Edition launch has been postponed to December 17th. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get your questions read on the show, just like KI700 did, who wrote in not with a question, but with a pretty cool thing. KI writes, "Hey, Bless and Andy. I'm a moderator over on the Kind of Funny subreddit, and I just want to let you guys and all the best friends know that we are hosting a predictions tournament right now for the Game Awards. Predictions is a cool new feature on Reddit where users are given 100 or 1,000 tokens that they can use to predict who they think will win each category. The more tokens you use on a prediction, the more you'll win if you picked correctly. The tournament is open until 4 p.m. Pacific time on Thursday, December 9th, at which time the Game Awards coverage will begin and users will start to receive their winnings for the correct predictions. Whoever does the best will be crowned the champion and may even get a special flair or other reward on the subreddit. Still working on that. The results leaderboard will also be publicly visible if people want to keep track of who is winning while the Game Awards take place. To participate, head over to the Kind of Funny subreddit at reddit.com/r/kindoffunny or go to r/kindoffunny on the Reddit mobile app. The predictions tournament is the top pinned post, so you can't miss it. I hope to see lots of best friends participating, and everyone at Kind of Funny is welcome to play as well. Thanks in advance for taking the time to read this on the show, guys. Hope all is well. KI700.
Thank you, KI.
Thank you for your work over there on the subreddit. That sounds really cool. And yeah, everybody go check that out if you want to get involved. Remember, you can go.
Sorry about always arguing with the assholes. Sorry, Kaya.
Oh yeah, sorry about
just
that.
Just gotta defend my, coworkers.
Defend your honor. Defend your honor. You appreciate Andy. Thank you for that. Remember, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong where you write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and on podcast services around the globe. Clark writes in and says, not a correction, more of a question. Near the end of the podcast, you say, and I want to check out what's coming to mom and grop shops. Where can I look? Myself and a few friends who listen to the show have never been able to work out what it is you are actually saying. It just seems like a few moments or a few minutes of nonsense. What even is this section of the show about? And what are you actually trying to say? Oh, did he do this yesterday? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's the only one from the 7th.
I see. I see. This one just didn't get cut.
It's like you're a day behind on everything. You notice that?
I mean, you know, it is what it is. Wait, did I get the wrong out today for Kotaku?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
I think so. What happened?
Oh, shit. That's my bad, guys. Holy cow. That's weird. I don't know how that happened.
You're just realizing that right now.
Yeah, because I was like, it can't always be one day behind. And then we glazed over that, and then I felt apologetic.
I thought we just moved on. I was just making excuses, Bless. I was like,
joking. I thought the point,
if you were asleep yesterday, that's new to you.
I thought the point you were making was that like games unlock like 9 p.m. the day before. I thought that's what you're saying. I didn't realize that I grabbed the wrong day. Out today for the December 8th is Halo Infinite, Transient, Same and Max, and Ball Lab. There you go, everybody.
Makes a lot more sense. A lot more sense. Bless, we told you, and you shat on us, says Nanobiologist.
Listen, Nano, sometimes they'll be telling me wrong shit, and you know, every now and then you get it right, and I apologize. This time I was wrong, but I'm not wrong every time. Keep that in mind next time I shit on you. More for your wrong. Let's see here.
Nice little letter from Joseph Staten on Staten on Twitter.
I say Staten like Staten Island.
What a long journey for Halo.
Everybody in You're Wrong is saying today is not yesterday. Thank you for that, You're Wrong. I appreciate it.
Bless, we were telling you this. You made fun of us.
This is my favorite thing to do, is to like argue with Nano and Kebab specifically, because they're in there all the time. And I feel like I don't have enough back and forth with them. It's usually them just telling me things. And so I like to build a nice rapport, a nice back and forth. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tomorrow's hosts for the show are Janet and Tim. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is some Halo Infinite with Mike. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, happy December 7th.